This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
All right, good evening, everybody. Let's find three, and I say that on purpose, three places in the Bible. You'll see why in a minute. Let's go to the table of contents. That's number one. You need to find that. Or I have all the books listed. And then you'll find Genesis 1, which will be just probably a page or a couple pages over. And then finally find 1 John 5. So 1 John 5, Genesis 1, and the table of contents. And I think we'll start in 1 John 5. We'll start in the back, work our way to the front. 1 John chapter 5. Okay, I'm not going to tell you where we're going yet. I'll have to see if you can figure it out, but you probably will real soon. Let's read 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. I'll tell you what, let's actually back up and read 5 through 7. Let's go to 5:5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are, what's the word? Okay, these three are one. I want to go ahead and read verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. So let's take a look there at verse 7, and I'll just tell you that one of the greatest yet most misunderstood doctrines in your Bible is in verse 7. It is the doctrine of the Trinity. I'll use the Bible word, because you don't have the word Trinity in the Bible. And I don't think it's a bad word. Think about the word Trinity for just a moment. Tri. Anybody ever ride a tricycle? Tri means three. Unity. That's one. Tri-unity. Three, yet one. What's the verse say? There's three. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. And at the end, these three are one. The Bible word is Godhead, which we'll look at those instances in a minute. You want to take a guess at how many times in the Bible you'll find the word Godhead? Just guess. Only one guess. Three times. Yes, we'll take a look at all those in a minute. But this verse here, verse 7, is not found in a lot of Bibles. I'm talking about, it's obviously found in your King James Bible. What they'll usually do is they'll completely take it out, or they'll only put the first few words in it. I think some of them will say something like, there are three that bear record. That's it. You miss the rest of it. This is the definitive verse on the subject of the Godhead. Now, do you understand why it would be one of the most attacked verses in the Bible? Let's go back to Genesis 1. Verse 1 also happens to be one of the most attacked verses in the Bible. And it's not, I don't think it's taken out of your Bibles, not that I know of, any of the other translations, but it's under attack from non-believers. And the reason why? God is there as the Creator. So, let's take a look here. Now, bear in mind what 1 John 5, 7 said. Three, Father, and notice, did you notice that it said Word? And we'll talk about why in a minute. That's correct. Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Now go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's read down to verse 4, actually, or verse 3. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay, let's peruse those verses and see if you can find Father, Word, Holy Ghost. Do you see them? In verse 1, I see God. That's all I see. Capital G, by the way. One God. That's all I see. In verse 2, I do see Spirit of God. That would line up with the Holy Ghost, right? I don't see Jesus Christ in there. I don't see the Word. Do you see Him? Now, here's what some people would say. Well, look at verse 3. Let there be light, and there was light. Jesus is the light of the world. Now, that's some heresy to say that that's where He came into existence. That would be heretical. Because even though He's the light of the world, He is existing before that verse 3 right there. So let's find out why. Keep one more place there. Table of contents. We'll come back there. Actually, come back there to Genesis 1. But if you would, go back to John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. And let's just put some basics together. So the next 3 weeks, Lord willing, we'll go over this subject of the Godhead. And tonight, first installment, we're going to talk about the facts concerning the Godhead. Just the facts. And the facts coming from the Bible. My dad actually loaned me a couple of books that he had in his library about, they call it the Trinity, most of the time. And I just kind of looked through those books and I said, I think I'll just stick with the Bible. And I found some good things. One of the books is a really old book, systematic theology book from years ago, which the old books are the best. And even then, I was looking through it and it got so wordy. If I was to read some of that to you, you'd say, what are they talking about? And I'll just stick with the Bible. The Bible is actually plainer than a theology book. We got a couple back here. And if you just want to pick one up one day, they're good to have. There's nothing wrong with them. Well, some of them there are. But you look through there and it's written by scholars. How do scholars talk? Way up here. The Proverbs says that God's words are plain to him that understandeth. And I believe that the Bible is actually a lot easier to understand, if you're saved, than the theology book. So I found that kind of interesting. Maybe I'll end up going back and looking at some things, but I just kind of put them to the side for this message, for this lesson. So go to John chapter 1. And take a look here about, let's put the pieces together. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. How come it didn't say Father, Son, Holy Ghost? How come 1 John 5:7 didn't say Father, Son, Holy Ghost? I think God wants us to do a little studying. Aren't we commanded to study? So you need to find out who the Word is. And don't just believe what I'm telling you. Believe the Bible. So look at verse 1, John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And you got the capital W there. So let's compare the two verses. We had 1 John 5, 7. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one, right? You know what it said? Right here, we have the Word being equal with who? With God. So, let's put it together with Genesis 1:1. Let's string it all together. Over there where we read Genesis 1:1, it said God, capital G, the one and only. And who's also there, folks? The Word. Are you with me? So, now, if you look at Genesis 1 again, you see God. And you see the Word, if you compare, and then the Spirit of God was there. So the Holy Ghost is there, correct? So you've got the Godhead active in the first few verses in your Bible in creation. And we'll actually hit some more of that next week. So I don't want to go there. So go down there to verse 14. Actually, let's go to verse 2 and 3, same chapter, John chapter 1. Let's read 2 and 3 and then we'll skip down. The same was in the beginning with God. So if you'll notice, the Word was with God. And also, the Word was God. So, for me to be with Sherry, isn't that two different individuals? But you know what Sherry and I, you know what our last name is, both of us? We have the same last name. And if you know anything about the husband-wife relationship, how does God see that? The two become one. Are we separate? Yes. Are we the same? Are we one? Yes. See how these things can be a little mysterious. But that is true. And I'll tell you this, and this will go along with a lot of the things that we will talk about the next few weeks. I don't understand everything about the Trinity, the Godhead. I don't understand it all. I have a better understanding today about some things concerning the Godhead than I did several years ago. But I don't understand it all. And the things that I don't understand, I'm going to believe them anyway. And that's the key. If you don't understand things in the Bible, Don't throw them out and say, that can't be true because I don't understand, or else you're going to throw a lot of the Bible out. Say, I don't understand it now. Maybe the Lord will show me, and even if I don't understand it, I'm going to believe it anyway. It's a way to handle that. So go down there to verse 3, John 1:3. All things were made by Him. Okay. Here we go. English grammar, your favorite. Him. Who's it talking about? Okay, I think you could make that the Word or God because they're the same. So that could be referring to the Word or the God. Or God. So all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So that makes God the Creator. It makes the Word the Creator. Are you with me? More about the Word. Go to John 1, verse 14. And I know that you know these verses, but man, they're always worth looking at again. Verse 14. I tell you, just looking at these here again tonight, I'm seeing some things. It's just really neat. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, but before we go on, what's in parentheses is important, and I'll read it. But if we stop there, do you really have it nailed down yet, who the Word is? You could actually make an assumption that would be true. For the Word to become flesh, it's got to be a person, an actual human being, a man, right? So, God in the flesh, you know this. Who is it? Jesus Christ. But let's read what's in parentheses, because it's going to tell you, without a doubt, who it is. It says in parentheses, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of, watch the words, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Folks, who's the only begotten of the Father? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, all we did, we went 1 John 5:7, Genesis 1, John 1:1, and then you put John 3:16 with that, and you find out, you got to do a little study, do a little work, but you find out that the Word is who? Jesus Christ, the Son. So if we say Father, Son, Holy Ghost, is that okay? It's absolutely okay. Jesus Christ has more than one title, doesn't He? He has, I could go a lot more, He's Messiah. He's the light, capital L, right? The light of the world, you could say. All kinds of different titles for Jesus Christ. So one person, though. I have some titles. I am a son. I am a husband. I am, at school, I'm teacher. Mister, right? Am I the same person? See how this works? And God's given us all kinds of examples in the creation here of this, of these things. So before we go on here, first point here, we'll talk about the Godhead identified. So let's talk about what the Godhead is not. First thing, the Godhead is not three gods. It is not three gods. That's very important. Here in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about some of the fallacies that are associated with the Godhead, and we'll talk more about that. But I'll just leave it at that. The Godhead is not three gods. But did you see in 1 John 5:7, it is three distinct persons. It wouldn't have said three if there wasn't three distinct persons. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. But then what did the end of the verse say? These three are one. The Godhead is also not, watch this one, it's not three modes of expression. Instead, three persons. Yes, I know that those persons can give you some things about God that are maybe different from the next, but three persons. I think you have to be careful with the wording there sometimes. So three persons, not three gods, three persons, one God. So a lot of times we emphasize the three so much that we forget about the fact that the Godhead is unified. It's one. So here's what I thought we would do to begin with. Let's look at Bible evidence of, I'll call it oneness, that there's just one God. So let's take a look here. Two places. Go to the table of contents first. Let's do that first before I forget. And then find Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. So if you've got the table of contents, we'll take a look at that first. I'll give you something that's kind of neat. Maybe we'll put some things together for you. And then Deuteronomy 6. So let's talk about the division here, the three, and then we'll go and talk a little bit more about the one, and then we'll actually go back to the three again. That makes sense, doesn't it? One, and then three, and then one. That's what our subject is. You know, when I study this, I don't know if you relate to this, maybe you're different from me, but there's times when I'm studying this subject, and I'll say, I got it. And then I keep going, and I say, well, I thought I had it. And again, Paul, actually the Apostle Paul, talked about these mysteries, that God gave him. And we actually have better understanding of those mysteries than people that lived a couple thousand years ago had. They were hidden in the Old Testament. And then some of those mysteries, take the rapture, for instance. I can read about it and I believe it's going to happen. But I cannot actually break down mechanically how that thing's going to happen, how all these people on earth are going to go from here to there. So since I can't explain it and how it's going to take place, I'll just believe that it will happen just like the Bible says. And that's how you got to handle those things. I think that's the best way to do it. Okay, take a look at your table of contents. Let's take Genesis to Malachi. Now, I'm not trying to take one member of the Godhead over another. I'm not doing that, but I just want you to see something. When you think of the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, is there one of those, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, is there one of those that you see more than the others in the Old Testament? What would you say? I'd say the Father. You see the Father, did you know the Spirit of God's there? We saw him in Genesis. How about this one? We'll probably have some time next week to take a look at this one. Did you know that Jesus Christ is there? He makes some, it's really neat, he makes some secret appearances in the Old Testament. Because he's eternal. He's got to be if he's God, right? He's not called Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, but he makes some appearances there. It's really neat. You ever study the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament? That's some secret appearances, I believe, of Jesus Christ. I'll show you that next week. So, Old Testament, God the Father, right? When you get to the Gospels, let's take just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Are all three there? Absolutely. But what are the Gospels about, folks? The Son, right? Isn't that the focus? They're all three there, don't get me wrong. But the Son is prominently spoken of. It's about the life of Jesus Christ, obviously. Now, you get to the book of Acts. And what would you say out of those three? Who would you say out of those three, I should say? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Who do you start to see a little more than you saw in the Old Testament and in the Gospels? Holy Ghost. Apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, right? Now, God the Father, he's in heaven. Now, at Pentecost, Jesus Christ has already come down and he's already ascended. So it's not like they're not present anymore, but the Holy Ghost filled those apostles, and that's when they spoke with other tongues, and there's all kinds of things in the book of Acts associated with the Holy Ghost. Now, you take the writings of Paul, Romans to Philemon. Can you pick one? I don't think I would pick one. Maybe you could. I don't know which one's mentioned more than the other. Maybe there is one that is. I will tell you this. In this age we live in now, we refer to as the church age, which one do you think has a very prominent role? What would you say? Okay, we got Jesus Christ over here. We got Jesus Christ over there. Anybody else? I think you can make a case for the Holy Spirit. Could you make a case for God the Father? How are you reconciled to God the Father? Salvation? So you can't leave them out. You can't leave any of them out. Understand, though, at different times in the past, one has been seen a little more than the other. Not trying to say one's better than the other. I'm not saying that. Folks, if I said one was better than the other, guess what? If I said one was better than the other, that one I said was not as good as the other wouldn't be God. So they all three are God. But they all three are different. But they all three are God. You see how this thing goes? All right, go to Deuteronomy 6. Let's talk about oneness for a minute. Is there one God? Let's let the Bible do the talking. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. And we're just identifying some things about the Godhead. First point here, identifying the Godhead. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. See the word one there. So notice the oneness there, one. Now go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. You believe that God is one? That the Bible said it right there. Let's get a couple more to tack on. 45, go to 45:5. Isaiah 45:5. Isaiah 45:5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God, capital G, beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. 45:5. One God? Yes or no? One God. Now, we would refer to ourselves, biblically, because of the Bible, as monotheists. We believe there's one God. If you believed in more than one God, what would you be called? Polytheist. Now, maybe you've been accused of being a polytheist because you believe in the Godhead. The Bible does not teach multiple gods, one God, again, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Go to Isaiah 45:21. Again, this is just associating God with being one. 45:21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Okay, a little emphasis there. No God else beside me, none beside me, a just capital G God and a capital S Savior. Now, wouldn't you associate Jesus Christ with being the capital S Savior? That must mean He's God. Now, that's an argument for one God right there. And it's also an argument for more than one person of the Godhead. Because you have the Savior there. So you see how you look at these verses and you see, oh, there's one God, there's one God. Yes, there's one God. But now let me give you the other side, and this would be some verses on, I would call this, threeness. So there's oneness. You believe in oneness? Well, I believe God is one. So the way that some folks would define it, I would disagree with them. But one God is what I mean by oneness. Now let's look at threeness, and let's see if threeness is in the Bible. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 27. John 6, 27. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. If you go back to 26, you'll see that. And look what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the, what's it say? Father sealed. Okay, there is a verse that tells you the Father, capital F, is recognized as God. Are you with me? Okay, go to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll be back in John in a minute, so you might want to keep a finger there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at another verse, and let's see who's mentioned here. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter 1. Look at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Look at verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the, what's it say? Okay, so there's another verse for the Father being God. Oh, let me read the rest of the verse because it gets interesting. Through sanctification of the, capital S, Holy Spirit. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of who? Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Look, I can go to that verse and say, look, there's argument that the Father is God. And after we look at the next couple of verses, you'll see we could point to that verse with those verses. And you could say, the Son is God. And you could say, the Spirit is God. Capital S, Spirit is God. So, you see how this gets. Look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. You see it. You almost got it, don't you? You almost can wrap your hands around it. And then you're like, well, I think I got it. John 20, 28. I won't read all this, but this is the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to the apostles after the resurrection. Verse 27, this is where old Thomas says, reach hither thy... Well, actually, 26. Thomas is there, and then the Lord says to Thomas in 27, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now look at the answer in verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, you got a capital L? Sure do. And my what? Who is he calling God, capital G? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Father is God. We saw the verses. The Son is God. There's one verse. You'll see some more later. Go over to Acts. If you don't see them later tonight, we'll see them next week. But go over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And let's see if we can find the Holy Ghost as God. The Holy Ghost being equal with God, I should say. Okay, this is the chapter where you have Ananias and Sapphira. Sold a piece of land, kept back part of the price. Lied to the apostles. Let's see who else they lied to here. Look at verse 3. Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to, who do you lie to? lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land. Now look at verse 4. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto who? It, folks, is the Holy Ghost, God. Don't take my word. We just looked at the verses. The Father is God, capital G. The Son is God, capital G. The Holy Ghost is God, with a capital G. One God. Not many gods, one God. So do you believe in one God, oneness, in the way that I showed you? The Bible teaches that. Do you believe that each of those, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, each of those is God? Yes, according to the Bible. There are three that bear record. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. These three are one. So three but one. Now, let's talk about something here. Go over to Acts chapter 17. I'll show you the three times you see the word Godhead in the Bible. Interesting that God did that. Three times. He chose, through the Holy Ghost, he chose to record three verses where you find the Godhead. And one time, the Godhead is mentioned in each verse. So this is the situation here where Paul's at Mars Hill, and you have these people who are worshiping. You remember who they're worshiping? They were a bunch of agnostics. The unknown God. You can't know him. See, agnostics have been around for a long time. Long time, a couple thousand years. So I won't read all this, but let's go down there to verse 29. We'll get where the Godhead is. Look at verse 29, 17:29. This is Paul preaching here, and he says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device." So in that verse, you find out what the Godhead is not. What is it not, folks? Isn't it interesting how many things he mentions, Samantha? Did you see that? Gold. I interrupted you. Sorry. Go ahead. What is it again? Three things of all the numbers. The Godhead is not like gold, silver, stone. What are men worshiping today, folks? You could make a case for all three of those. They worship money, or they worship buildings, or some kind of structure made out of stone. Okay, so there's what the Godhead is not. Now go over to Colossians chapter 2. There's one in Romans, but I'll go to that one last. And you'll see why. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, another instance of the Godhead. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 8, actually. We'll read verses 8 and 9. Verse 9 is the word Godhead. Verse 8. Colossians 2:8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after..." Okay, so the next verse is about Jesus Christ. And you know that from reading verse 8 at the end. "For in him," that's Christ, "in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead." How? That means Jesus Christ is... what is he? Okay, I don't know if I quite get all that. I'm thinking about it. He's God in a body. I can say that for sure. There's a lot coming to my mind. I don't want to necessarily see this stuff whenever you start looking at it. Man, make your head spin a little bit. But I know that Jesus Christ, I can definitively say this. We already saw that Jesus Christ is one of the persons of the Godhead, right? And then when you see Jesus Christ, we see him one day, we see him bodily, face to face, you are not missing out on God at all. That's what I get from that verse right there. He's all God. It's not because he's the Son he's missing something. He's still all God. Is he as much of God? Is he as much God, I should say, as the Father? Is he as much God as the Holy Ghost? Yet the three, being distinct, are still what? Are one. All right? Go to Romans chapter 1, and we'll have some fun with this one. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. You've been here many times. We'll have some fun here. Romans 1, verse 20. Last mention here of Godhead. Verse 20. Romans 1, 20. "For the invisible things of him," that would be the things of God, invisible things of God, "from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and," there it is, "Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So here's what God has done. So he knows that we obviously are creatures that don't understand him 100%. But he has made quite an effort, the Lord that is, God, has made quite an effort to try to show us many, many, many examples in his creation of who he is. I really believe that when God made the universe, he stamped his signature all over it. And his signature, we've already been learning tonight, is he is one God, but he is Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Three persons, right? I'll show you. I think, according to the verse, it says that you can see the invisible things of God, that would be spiritual things, by studying the things that are made. That would be the physical. So I believe God has, and I'll show you examples, he stamped his signature, the three in one, all over creation. Here's a few. Give me the three states of matter, Brandon. Come on. Liquid, solid, gas. Okay, I'm glad you brought it up. The great unknown. And then the recent science books, they say there's a fourth state of matter. Now, you read up on this. Don't take my word for it. Read up on this. And they say it's a mysterious fourth state of matter. And it actually has properties of kind of like a gas, more so than the other three, other two, right? But then it doesn't always behave like a gas. So they're left with saying, we don't know. So you know what I'm going to stick with? There's three states of matter. And the fourth thing that they have, since we can't really define it and say what it is, we'll just leave it on the side. Okay, the atomic particles. Three parts of an atom. Help me out, Mr. Engineer. Here we go. Protons, positive. Neutrons, neutral. Electrons. Did God make those? Sure did. How about an insect? An insect. One insect can be broken down into three body segments. It's one insect, three parts. Head, thorax, abdomen, right? Okay, a bunch here. I'll try to go through these quick. The earth has three layers. You feel like you're back in school again? Good. Crust, mantle, core. Now listen, I've taught out of Christian textbooks, and I've taught out of secular textbooks, and science, that is. And I can find the three parts of things in the secular textbooks. The Christian textbooks don't have a bias. And they said, well, let's fix this. No, this is how it is broken down by true scientists. Or the fake scientists even break it down in three, don't they? So, the ones that say they're scientists. How about this one, the skin? You got three layers. Your epidermis is showing right now. That's the outer layer. The layer right underneath that is the dermis. The layer underneath that is called the subcutaneous layer or the hypodermis. When you get a shot, that's where the shot goes down, below the dermis, into that subcutaneous layer. How about a cell? It has a bunch of parts. But every textbook I've looked at has three parts, three main parts. Cell membrane, nucleus, cytoplasm. My kids always like to be smart on this. They say, Ms. Rocco, what about the cell wall? It's only found in animal cells. Plant cells don't have cell walls, so you can't say cell walls are one of the main parts. Only in animal cells. All right, how about three types of rock? Igneous, metamorphic, sedimentary. Three kinds of volcanoes based on their history. There's extinct volcanoes. Help me out on this one, Sherry. Active and dormant. There we go. Extinct, active, dormant. Couple more. Plants. All plants. All plants. Roots, stems, leaves. Well, some have flowers. Only some. Not all. Roots, stem, leaves. Primary colors. What are they? There's three. Primary colors. Red, blue, yellow. On and on and on. You want to see a neat one in your Bible? We won't go there, but Isaiah 33:22 has the three branches of government. I know that's not something that God instituted. Oh, wait, actually, he did, because our government ripped it off from the Bible, whether they knew it or not. If you go over there, it says that God is our judge, God is our lawgiver, God is our king. Judge, judicial. Lawgiver, legislative. King, executive. Isn't that something? We could go literally for the rest of the night on threes. You know what God did when he made the universe? He put his signature over everything. Three parts, one item. So that when you look at things, you have to say, in fact, I looked at an article this afternoon, it was really interesting, and it said, I'm not going to get it exactly right, but it said something like, the title was, The Mysterious Threes in Nature. And the article written by an unsaved guy, obviously, said there's something about this number three observed all over nature. And I have to correct him, and I say, yes, there are threes all over God's creation, not nature. Because God made it, and He stamped Himself all over it. He left no doubt who He is. If you, like I said Sunday night, you got a Bible, and you can observe the creation. You know there's something about the number three. You go to your Bible, you find out what it is. One God, three persons. See how that works? See, true science and the Bible go right together. And it's the funnest thing to study when you put those things together. You separate them. You know what's happening? I'll tell you real quick. What's happening in my class right now, in Bible class, is my boys are so used to separating the Bible from all the rest of the subjects and all the rest of their life, more importantly, more personal to them. They take the Bible and it's over here. The rest of their life is way over here. They don't go together. So what I've been trying to do here lately, and I had a really neat opportunity today, and I'll have another one on Friday, is show them how the Bible is actually, I'm going to show them a place in the Bible where the Bible is going to tell them all about something going on right now in the superhero world with Hollywood. It's all about it. And my goal in that is to show them, guys, this is the devil doing some stuff right here, and God already told us all about it. And it's being manifest in Hollywood. Hollywood's got these kids' minds, folks. I'm telling you, you really pray for our kids. Hollywood's got a grip on them. So now they separate anything that is miraculous. They move that over here, away from the Bible, and they put that in the area of, well, it must be fiction. Is the miraculous always fiction? In the Bible, the miraculous is a work of Almighty God. It's not fiction. But see how Hollywood's programmed them? Let's put all the miraculous, let's put that over here outside of the Bible. Let's put that outside of everything, and it's fiction. And it's obviously, there's some miraculous things in the Bible. Hey, if you're saved, that's a miracle, isn't it? There's some things to come that are going to be miraculous, going from here to there and meeting Jesus Christ in the air. It's miraculous. See, now they think about that. They see that in the Bible, and they say, well, that can't be real, because I've already moved all these things like that over here in the world of world of fiction. Does that make sense? Pray for our kids. Adults as well, because this stuff will really mess up your mind. That's why the Bible says, be transformed. Be transformed by renewing of your mind. What's the world trying to do? Shape them. Conform them. Be not conformed to this world. That's what the world's doing right now. By coincidence, that's our memory verse in that class this week. Romans 12, 1 and 2. No coincidence. So, really neat. Go over to Genesis 1. A couple things here in closing. So, we had the Godhead identified. The Godhead pictured here in the creation. Go to Genesis 1. I'll leave you a couple things here in closing. We won't get to this last one, but it's actually okay. The last point I had is the Godhead observed in the Scriptures. I think that'll probably take, that'll be easily transferable into next week. So just a couple things in closing here. Genesis 1. Go to verse 26. Genesis 1:26. You've just had the fifth day end in verse 25. So day 6 begins in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. You see anything strange there? I see some pronouns that you need to pay close attention to. Look at it again, verse 26. And God said. How many gods, folks? One God. But what did God say? Let what? Us. If I say us, it's more than just me. If God says us, it's got to be more than just one. Right? Based on what we already looked at, this makes perfect sense. Without the New Testament and some of the verses we looked at, you'd be stumped. This makes perfect sense. How can God, one, say, let us, which means more than one, and then go on to say, let us make man in our image? Now, if I was going to say that, if I said that, I would say, let me make man in my image, because I'm one. I'll show you in a minute. Actually, I'm not one, and neither are you, but let's stick with this for right now. I didn't say that. God said that, and He said it the way it should be said. I obviously butchered it. Let us, more than one, make man in our image, our, more than one. You see a problem here? There is no problem if you understand that God is one, but we've got Father, Word, Holy Ghost, three, yet still one. Everybody with me so far? Okay, just a little bit. Stick with me just for a couple more minutes here. Look at the rest of verse 26. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. 27. So God created man in His own what? Image. In the image of God made He him. Male and female created He them. Notice God made man in His own what? Image. Folks, who's God? He's one. God is Father, Son, Holy Ghost, though, right? Would it make sense for God to make man with three parts? If man is made in the image of God, makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Go over to chapter 2 real quick, Genesis 2, and then we'll go one more place in the New Testament. Genesis 2. Put the pieces together here. I tell you, I know for a long time, or a few years, I went to churches where, I mean, it didn't matter if it was Sunday night or Wednesday night, you get one verse and a bunch of stories. I didn't learn much Bible. Heard some good stories. Didn't learn much Bible. Folks, you don't learn the Bible until you start comparing Scripture with Scripture. So when Sharon and I came to this church for the first time, pastor got up here and he went to multiple verses. And I'm like, yes. You know why? He wants you and I to base our faith not on him, but on what God said. If you go to one verse and tell a bunch of stories, you remember what the guy said. You don't remember what God said. If you go to a bunch of verses and maybe mix in some illustrations, hopefully you remember more so what the Bible said. And the illustrations just help drive home the point, right? Just understand, we got a great blessing here. Our little churches love it. 2:7. And the Lord God, is He one? Yes, He is. He's also Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's one part of man. He's made from the dust of the ground. And breathed in his nostrils the, what's it say? Breath of life. There's another part of man. And man became a living soul. Now, you probably didn't get the first two. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. I don't know. The last part of man is actually mentioned, the last word. What is the last word? Soul. Right? Well, if you know what the New Testament says, and we'll go there in a minute, you are made up of, and I am made up of, three parts. A body, a soul, and a spirit. So my body is going to have, according to the Bible, now here's some science for you. According to the Bible, my body and your body should have some things in common with the dust of the ground. Dirt. You can check it. All the elements, the major elements found in dirt, by no coincidence, are the major elements found in the human body. The big four, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, among many others. The big four. That's no coincidence. The Bible gives me some science right there. Man's body came from the dirt. If Adam and Eve came from, well, actually, Eve came from a rib, so she's going to be a little different, right? Are the needs physically, when we're talking nutrition, different from a man than a woman? We all definitely know the hormones are different, right? See the differences? Dust of the ground, taken from a rib. But wait a minute, what is a rib part of? It's part of the man who came from the dust, dust of the ground. So it makes sense that woman would have a lot in common physically with man, at the same time be a little different. I'm talking about the body here. See, there's some science. Right out of your King James Bible. Amen. All right, so go to 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll close here this morning. Is it night? This evening. 1 Thessalonians 5. Last place here. 1 Thessalonians 5. So God made man in his own what? Image. We know that God is one. God is three. Three persons. Look at verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, there's the first part, and soul, there's the second part, and body, third part, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Man is three parts, and it makes perfect sense because God made man in his own image. So let's see if we can match these up, and then I'll tell you something about yourself. I think one of the things that you can learn from studying the Godhead, you can learn a lot about yourself. And I'll show you that in a minute. Let's take the Godhead and compare it to the three parts of man. Body, soul, spirit, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Let's take the body first. God. What part of God matches up with the body? That would be, we just saw it a while ago. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. Bodily, who is that? That's the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The physical manifestation of God. So there's the body. The soul. We've got the Father and we've got the Spirit left for choices. What do you think? It makes perfect match with the Father. I didn't say we are the Father. You understand. We're made in His image. The part of us that actually coincides is the soul with the Father. Eternal part of us, right? Now, take the third part. Spirit. What about God? Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Which one? Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, right? So they all matched up. Now, I'll tell you something you can learn about yourself in closing. Before I got saved, and if you're saved, before you got saved, you had a body, you had a soul, and you had, you ready? A dead spirit. You know what that made you? Really just two-thirds of a person. In a sense, right? Two-thirds of a person. Get on a calculator. 2 divided by 3. Uh-oh. What are we getting, Brandon? A bunch of sixes. 6 repeating. Isn't that interesting? That's before you were saved. Isn't that wild? You say, what's that got to do with anything? Revelation 13, 18. The number of the beast is the number of a man. 600, 3 score 6. 666. Isn't that interesting? Now, if you're saved, you became complete, didn't you? Okay, now I've got a spirit that is alive. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? Marvel not. I say unto thee, you must be born again. He was born of the Spirit. Correct? So now I am complete. But actually, still, I'm not complete yet. If you think about it, still, I'm a lot more complete than I was before I was saved, because I'm saved. But there's part of me still that's not saved. I'm still only two-thirds saved. What part of me is not saved and what part of you is not saved? It's the part that gives you all the trouble. It's your body. It's your flesh. My soul, according to Colossians 2, was cut away from my flesh, circumcised. My spirit was born again. My body is not saved. You know what's going to happen? The rapture is going to happen. And somewhere between here and there, I get a glorified body. Our conversation is heaven. For once we look for the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, we are to change our vile body that may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. That's Philippians 3:20. So then I will become complete. And you know what's interesting? I will go from being two-thirds saved, if you want to put it like that, hopefully you understand, to 3 out of 3 saved. And guess what happens right after that? Guess who takes over on planet Earth? Old 666. The beast. Isn't that something? See how God put all that together? You learn a lot about yourself when you study the Godhead. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a couple things to start with next week. So next week we'll talk about some more of the facts about the Godhead and the functions of the Godhead. And then a couple weeks from now, if we're still here, I'd rather not be, we'll talk about the fallacies of the Godhead, some of the false teachings about the Godhead. So a lot left out there tonight, but hopefully you got something. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for how we can just glean truths from it. I pray that we would have a lot better understanding of you as well as ourselves as a result of this study. Just impart the truth to us and may we use it in our personal lives as well as defending the truth of your word with others. And we just pray for all the folks that are here as we go tonight. We ask for your hand of safety and protection. We also ask for your wisdom in dealing with situations in our personal lives as well as others and giving out the gospel, giving out the truth. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.